I'd like to read some extra verses in the reading from Isaiah chapter 43. It should have been read up to 19, but I would like to go back to chapter 42 and read verse 18 to 25. For this is connected to each other on Isaiah 43. Verse 18. Of chapter 42. Hear, that means listen, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. I'm reading from Isaiah 42, verse 1, verses 18. That's an additional reading from chapter 43, because they are linked together. Hear ye that, verse 18 of chapter 42, Isaiah. And look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind and blind as the Lord's servant? That's the ending of verse 19. Verse 20 of chapter 42 of Isaiah. Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, that they are in prison. And they are hid in prison houses. They are for afraid, subject to be debarred, and none deliberate for a spoil, and none said, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore, he had poured out, or he had poured upon him, rather, the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. And it had sent him on fire runabout. Yet he knew not, and burned him. Yet he laid it not to the heart. That's the condition of God's people. When Isaiah had been ministering to the people of Israel, that's their condition. And then looking how it happened in Matthew chapter 13, It was fulfilled in this text, that prophecy about God's people, chosen ancient people Israel. In verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The question is, how can people, when they hear, have ears to hear and do not listen? And people see the presence of God, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, so the reaction of God's people listening to his sermons. They have an open mind, open understanding, but they refuse to obey God's word. That's why our Lord Jesus continued to echo and challenge people. You have eyes to see and have ears to hear, let them listen. And the picture, again, as was described in Isaiah 42, verse 18 to 25, is again revealed, the reality of it. In chapter 2, verse 7, and I would like to read also from verse 1, how these servants, how these messengers, how these teachers have been abandoning their duty. Look at chapter 2 of Malachi, how he describes them as well. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you did not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seeds and spread down upon your faces, even the down of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent these commandments unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, and said the Lord of hosts, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of the Lord was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That is the true servant of God. But as we have read, even those who have been professing servants and messenger of God have closed their eyes and their ears to the needs of people. And they did not honor God's law before men. Well, What shall we learn from this text? Well, to introduce to you the God that who makes things new, as human beings, and as Christians, fellow Christians in the Lord, there are so many memories as we begin this new year and experiences preventing our movements or limiting our movements into a fresh encounter with God. Perhaps we have been preparing and had some agenda for this new year. The window of our hearts and the souls are clouded with memories of pain, hurt, and betrayal, which we have experienced over the years. And perhaps the continuous pain of this is perhaps sometimes is haunting us. Will you not perceive it? But God wants to change all that. God says, in verse 16, I suppose, in let's back go back to Isaiah 43. Yeah, it's verse 19. That's why I should have included from 9 to 19. The windows of our hearts and souls are clouded with memories of the past, pain and hurt and betrayal, which we have experienced over the years. But God wants to change all that. And we believe that the new year presents a lot of surprises, but we all hope and look at the God of our salvation that will change for good. God says in verse 19 of Isaiah 43, behold, I'll create it. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Will you not know it? It springs up right before your eyes. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm sure all the desert countries in the Middle East have been included in this kind of God transforming power to bless those people who have been dealt by God in the Old Testament. When God does this new thing, are we ready? Are we aware that even tonight as we hear, God is doing a great thing, about to do a great thing before our eyes? God proclaims through the prophet, I am making a new way in the desert. The desert is a lonely place, as you know. I traveled to Israel back in 2006, I think, or 2003 or 6. You can see all the desert around. And you wonder what will it be like to live in the desert. But of course, because of modern technology now, these deserts in Israel are producing a lot of green vegetables and fruits, and also like Dubai is the modern city, is the sleepless city. It's like Vegas. Out of the desert, they created these things that attracts people around the world, especially with money. I am making a new way in the desert. Even the most experienced desert guides have difficulty finding their way in the desert because of the terrain, and the way the desert conditions can easily bring discomfort to the traveler. For God says, I will make a way for you in the desert, and you shall know the path I make for you, and the path will lead you to the fertile ground. There is also a spiritual desert, a place of loneliness and misdirection and confusion, which we may experience along the way in our spiritual desert. Some people spend their lives wandering in the spiritual deserts of despair and disillusionment and disappointment. Spiritual deserts can be encountered in our spiritual exile from God. That's just like the people of Israel, where we feel estranged from the Lord and those who love us. We have lost our way. We are desert wanderers. We have lost our focus and direction. We cannot find our way back to the fertile ground. Perhaps it is the desert of personal affliction and addiction. The alcoholic finds himself on the fallow ground of loneliness and denial, where he cannot bring himself to admit he is or she is alcoholic. Or for that matter, anyone, whether believers or unbelievers, that they are addicted to some kind of habit that cannot be denied or refused by the demands of the self, the old nature. The same is true of the drug addict as well. And this drug is a continuous pestering the whole world. He's in the vortex. This drug addict is in the vortex of drug abuse and himself spiraling out of control into the abyss of self-destruction. And that could also involve the lawmakers, the judges. It's difficult to bring justice because of lack of information. Misinformation is happening so that the proper justice is not being done. The spiritual deserts are filled today with people who carry baggage of their past and are wandering aimlessly on the hot sand of hopelessness and despair. Let's become personal at this point. Have you ever felt your life as a dry, barren desert? In today's passage of Isaiah, Israel felt spiritually and emotionally desolate. In their disobedience, they had wandered from God, and he had allowed them to follow their own way, so that the disqualification of Israel as God's servant leads God to proclaim his plans of renewal for a faithful remnant. Let us now consider three realities of how God can unfold his plan of renewal. First of all, why is renewal needed? Well, as you can see in our reading in verse chapter 42, verse 18 to 25, the explanation is the spiritual state, sad and lonely and unacceptable, horrific, or I will put it, it's the most scandalous way of life that God cannot even look for a chosen people and then live and turn their back against him. They are so careless about God's works in the past. They did not look back at the past of what God has done for them and words that God continued to echo through the prophet Isaiah. Look at verse 20 to 22. Seeing many things, and thou observest not, opening the ears, but heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. He will continue to honor and magnify the law because he is a holy God, and expect his servants, like prophet Isaiah, to make known the will of God to follow the law so that his people will tell of his goodness and his faithfulness and tell to the world how God protects them, how their living God, their only true God, Yahweh. Jehovah God, I am who I am. So that my chosen people will be a leading nation that will proclaim the greatness of God, how he separated them from the cruelty of the Pharaoh, from their wilderness experience after they were sent from Egypt, and how God set them free, and he opened the Red Sea. And the people of Israel right now continue to observe that greatness of God. And that is amazing. Look at continually in verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, and he will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They were taken out of Israel, and they are now experiencing an exile, a total desolation, a total isolation from the land. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses, and they are a prey and none delivered, or a spoil and none set restored. Nobody encouraged the power, trumpeting the power of God of the past and what he can do today at that moment. God would never reject his people completely. Look at their disobedience. 23 to 24. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob a spoil for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he whom we have seen? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they. Neither were they disobedient to his way, to his law.
Neither were they obedient unto his law.
What do you call this? We have the same.
Yeah, neither were they obedient unto
his law. Wait a bit, I'll read it properly.
Verse 24.
24, okay. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his laws. Is that correct? Therefore, because of this condition, in verse 24 to 25, God has to place them under his judgment. Because placing God's judgment is one way of showing his holiness, and sin must be punished as he always does. He will never wink at any sin. Even the most godly, considered the apple of God's eye, King David, was punished for his sin. And therefore, he has to place them under God's judgment. In verse 25, therefore, he had poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. That means the resultant power of the oppressors, the invaders, like the Assyrians and the Babylonians, were, and under the Romans as well, in Syria. And yet, this experience did not bring senses to the people of God and causing their hearts to look upon him and ask direction, redirection, so that it had sent him on fire round about. And yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet it laid it not to heart. In other words, they do not even understood or make a sense of going up and call and cry unto God because of this affliction. Can you imagine a people like that? And yet there is a man who is a prophet that is continually calling them. And yet God himself, in verse 19, behold, in verse 18 as well, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. That means his miraculous intervention, his provisions for them in the wilderness. Behold, in verse 19, says the prophet Isaiah, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, Israel's demoralized condition, as we read a while ago, is directly attributed to their unwillingness to pay attention to God's order, to take heed of his word, and to honor his law, and to be obedient to his law, to his will, as chartered in his covenant. Because there's disobedience as well, still they have not learned the lessons that the devastation of the land at the hands of the Assyrians is the outpouring of God's anger against their persistent sin. In other words, the condition that they have at this moment should actually draw them up and their call for God's help. And yet, there's a help waiting for them. The prophet, having spoken by way of encouragement to the believing Jews, in these verses, he turns among those people who were unbelieving. In them, there were a type of Jews who rejected Christ, the coming Messiah, and were rejected by him. The question this morning is, have you chosen God? Or has he chosen you? Look at God's arm opening to them. The call that's given to these people, hear, you deaf, were not able to hear, and attend to the joyful sound, and look, you blind, that you may see the joyful light. That's in verse 18. This call to the deaf to hear and the blind to see is like the command in one of the gospel given to the man that had withered hand, and to stretch it forth, as the Lord commanded him to stretch his hand. But because he cannot do this on his own strength, but faith drove him and stretched for his hand. If he had not do that by faith, he would not have been healed. And this is the demands of God right now to Prophet Isaiah. Though you have turned your back against me, though you have sinned against me, though you have forgotten me, how I have provided for you and set you free from that isolated wanton administration of the payroll, look, behold, I will do a great thing for you. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? Shall you not know it? How can they know it if they persist in their turning back against God? How can they hear it if they turn their eyes or their ears So not the Pharisees and the Sadducees demand signs, but they know all the signs that the Lord Jesus has done, the miracle, but they are not willing to recognize him as the true Messiah. The character given of them in verse 19 to 20, who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger? Because as true messenger and servant, they should must be doing their duties, but they forgot their duties. The people of the Jews were in profession as God's servant, and their priests and elders, which were supposed to be his messengers, as Micah or Malachi 2 prepared to. Let's open to that verse quickly. In Malachi 2, look at what is the expected role of the priest and the teachers. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed out of the way. You have caused many stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the Lord. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah, in verse 11, hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of God, the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughters of a strange God. And this is the cause of this exile, which isolated them and make them as a laughing stock to all nations, because they turned their back against God. All these servants were deaf and blind. God is complaining of their drunkenness, and they are blind, and of their stubbornness, they are deaf. They are even worse than the Gentiles themselves. Blindness and deafness in spiritual things are worse in those that profess themselves to be God's servants and messengers. The prophet goes on in verse 20 to describe the blindness and obstinacy of the Jewish nation, just as our Lord describes it in his time. I already read that in Matthew 13, 14. A while ago. How will renewal will come is the next thought we are going to consider. Well, in verse 1 to 7, we see here, as we have read, I think it was read a while ago, we can see the precious promises made to God's people in their affliction, and of his presence with them for their support and their deliverance. This chapter has a plain, this chapter 43 has a plain connection with the closing chapter of chapter 42, which I've read already. It was here on chapter 42 that said that Jacob and Israel would not walk in God's ways. And now one would think it should have followed that God would abandon them. But no, God is now beginning to show his dominant role in his sovereign grace. He said, "But now fear not, O Jacob, O Israel, I have redeemed thee, for thou art mine." The grounds of God's care and concern for his people is revealed here. Jacob and Israel, though in a simple, miserable condition, should be looked after for their God's workmanship, created by him unto good works, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He formed them into a people, constituted their government, and incorporated them by the charter of his government. And then they are a people as well of his purchase. Look at Isaiah 43. "But thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." He wants to impress upon them what he has done in the past for them, from that oppression, cruel oppression of the Pharaoh against God's people. "Fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." You see how the Lord continued to echo them. They are not just ordinary people created by God, but God has chosen them as his ancient people. And then also they are a people of his purchase. In other words, he has redeemed them through the sovereign work of the covenant Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed them. He said, "I have redeemed thee, for I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine." And then in verse 2, he preserves them. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." That is the preservation. "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon them." In other words, God will not allow his people to be consumed by his enemies, by their enemies. His preserving grace will continue to be experienced by his people, so that even though we are unfaithful to him, as these people are now, we are reading about, God
can always keep them on mid time.
Remnant of few that are in Israel right now, and yet they need to hear the gospel as well, or they continue. How I can see it clearly, when one evangelist went to Israel and preached Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the one that can forgive your sin and make you a brand new person because of the new life he promised you. And one lady shouted at him, "Go away from my sight." He continued to love them and continued to say to them, "I am going to do a great new thing before you. Won't you see it? Won't you hear it?" And he continued to gather them to go back to their nation, Israel. How many millions are coming back? That's in verse 5. "Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." And he continued to rescue them from the threat of war. Listen to this clearly. "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back." Don't keep them back. Bring them out, set them free. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is a reality that's happening now. So the wonderful things out of this wonderful way of renewing his people is impressing upon them that he redeemed them, he chosen them, and he preserved them, and he purchased them to the precious blood of the Lamb, as we read from Ephesians chapter 2 a while ago. And he continued to gather them. And he chooses us as well to gather people to listen to the message of hope, message of salvation to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the wonder of God's grace that God is setting before us and before the people. The words, I have redeemed you, I have created you, I have been preserving you, I have purchased you, looking forward to the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and continue to rescue them and gather them. And now people are coming back to the nation of Israel. This is the work of God's grace. This is God's sovereign grace. This is God's irresistible grace. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached, that was written by Pastor Mark a while ago in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's grace. The wonderful thing about God is that he never set himself distance from his people Israel and from us as well, as the remnant of true Israel. He always reminds us that he is always with us and beside us. Because faithfulness is the part of his nature, he cannot remain unfaithful and at the same time still be the God of the whole universe. No, that means that when we are unfaithful, he's still faithful in his promises. You see, the people of Israel were dispersed around the world. They are coming back, and they are subject to a saving grace. And in the case of Israel, he proved true to his nature. God always works in the present, but looks to the future. Life is at its best, it's not living in the past, but and worrying over what happened, or what was once was. Instead, it is live in the here and now. Aware of one thing, that God is a God of love. He is always at work in your life to do something for your good and his glory. I'd just like to make this final announcement of the new year as we continue to live the first 7 days of this new year. Let us fix our focus of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. When we do this, he will continue to lighten our load. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are laden, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. Equip you as well. This focusing on Jesus Christ will equip us to handle the terrible, tough times we face right now. And let us expect the unexpected. I don't know whether this world will move on continually in this new set of wars going on. And I pray it might be a reality, it will happen, but I'm not trying to give you a false alarm. But if you're going to read between what's happening now and what is happening among the world nations gathering their own group as unbelievers, they are all unbelievers. They don't recognize Christ and the preaching of the gospel in their land. May our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ will give us encouragement to be guided into His will for our new life this year. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.